Thank you, Ms. Kallstrom. Thank you, Lynn. Choir, thank you for the good singing this morning. You always bless our hearts. I do have a copy of my outline inside your bulletin. I will give you several things to write if you'd like to jot things down this morning. Are you glad you're heaven bound? Are you glad you're saved this morning? It's a wonderful thing to know that you know, but you understand that there are some Christians that are not real happy. There's some Christians that they'll look at their neighbor and they wonder why God is blessing them almost, it seems, every day, and yet why are they unhappy? It seems as though maybe God has looked over them to some degree, and we know that's not true. It brings me to my sermon title in the form of a question: how much do you pray? How much do you pray? Please take your Bible. Turn with me to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. I want to call your attention just in a few moments to 1 Samuel chapter number 12, verse 23. The importance of prayer was always on our Lord's mind. Something we must know. Anything that distracts us as Christians from prayer is a thief. Why? It steals from us, from Christian men and Christian women, the blessings the Father longs to give each of us. If we are to keep our temples, I'm referring to our bodies now, clean and well protected, we need to learn the art. And not only the art, but we need to learn the discipline of prayer. Prayer is fantastic. Amen? Think about that for a moment. Prayer is so fantastic. It links us with Almighty God. Now, how many believe that God hears and answers prayers? Amen? We know that. We understand that. If this is true, and it is, then one thing above all other things we should do, and we should learn how to pray properly. Failure to pray is a tragedy, but it's much more than that. The Bible says it is a sin not to pray. Look with me, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. The Bible says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way." Now, with this in mind, I want us to see what Jesus, God's Son, taught about prayer. Turn with me to the New Testament, a very familiar passage. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I want to begin reading in verse number 9. The Bible says this: "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now look at those verses for just a few moments. Short verses, not very many of them. The Lord's Prayer, but there's 10 elements in this prayer. A personal relationship with God. Notice the words, "Our Father." The second element is faith. Notice the words, "which art in heaven," a place where I'm looking forward to going. Amen? There's a third element, worship. Notice the words, "hallowed be thy name." And then the fourth element, expectation, "thy kingdom come." There's a fifth element, submission. Notice the words, "thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." There's another element, petition. Notice again the words, "give us this day our daily bread." And the seventh element that we see here is confession. The words, "as we forgive our debtors." And then we find an element called compassion, as we forgive those, our debtors. Dependence is another element. It says, "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And then there's one last element here, acknowledgement. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." So much in so few verses. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We know that it is true and it's holy. Thank you for the privilege and health and strength to be able to be here this morning. We pause and mention the name Mary Turner again as we remember she passed out in Sunday school, and we hope, God, with your touch, she's doing much better. Give her doctors at Fry that may be able to help her. I do pray, God, for everyone that's here this morning, that we will understand more about prayer. And God, as we understand more, help us, God, to see that we need to put it in practice. I pray this in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Sign that was in a high school. Do not remember the name of a high school. It read this way. It was in the restroom. I don't know who put it up, but it was put up very nicely. Something that was to be permanent. Let me read what it said. It said, notice, in the event of an atomic attack, the federal ruling against prayer in this school will temporarily be suspended. Isn't that something? Put it in the bathroom. Look at your outline. I want you to notice six things this morning. Notice number one. I want you to notice the person of the prayer. The person. Look at verse 9. Please keep your Bibles open. Look at verse 9 again. I want you to note the words, our Father. Right away we learn that prayer is not an empty repetition of words. It's like a child talking to his father. And something we must understand. First, we must be children of God in order to pray with effectiveness. Now think about that for a moment. Not everyone has the right to call God Father. Now think about that, and you say, well, who does? Let me answer it this way. Only those who have been born into His family have that right. Only those who have prayed the sinner's prayer and asked Jesus Christ to save them has that right. Now some may protest. Some may say something like this, I disagree. They say God created everybody, so God is the Father of everybody. I would have to tell those people with that mindset that they're wrong. I would have to tell those people with that mindset that they're mistaken. God does not become Father by creation. God created the dogs and the cats and the flies and the frogs, but He is not their Father. He is only their Creator. God has made it clear in the Scriptures that some human beings are not His children. You say, preacher, are you sure? Can you back that up in the Word of God? If you're writing this morning, jot this verse down. Derek will have it on the screen. John 8, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus here is speaking to the Pharisees. Listen as I read verse 44. The Bible says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And if God is your Father, how natural it ought to be for you to pray to Him. Not only at mealtime, but when you get up in the morning and all through the day, as you work, as you go to school, it should be natural for you to fellowship and pray and talk to your Heavenly Father. There was a man that was called on to pray in church. It was his first time to pray in church. He had been in that church many years, but no one had ever called on him to pray. And some people are just not comfortable praying in public. And this gentleman was not, but he did the very best that he could. He was praying. He said some words that he may not have said. Many times we do that, especially if we're country. He said the word ain't. He said, I ain't. And then he said the word, he said, thank you, Lord, that I've got food on my table. He, instead of saying hungry, he said, I've been hungry before, and just the old country slang, you know. And when he got done, there was a woman met him at the door and said, I've never heard such bad English. And this man who had never prayed in church before, he said, I'm sorry, ma'am, but I wasn't praying to you. I was praying to my Heavenly Father. Listen as I read from Romans 8:15. The Bible says in Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is a Aramaic word from the original text that means daddy or it means father. Notice in your outline, Roman numeral number 2. Not only want you to see the person, I want you to see the purpose of prayer. If you'd pencil in the word purpose, look at verse 10. Note the words, thy will be done. This phrase tells us immediately that prayer has one major purpose. To seek the will of God, to secure the will of God. Now, how can we be sure of this? I want to give you scripture. Jot it in your notes. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. Now, there's key when you're praying. It needs to be within His will. So we need to seek His heart. Seek His face according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. I want to share a quote with you. I'm not sure who said this, but it's good. I quote, "Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God." End of quote. That's pretty good, is it not? It's so important that you and I know the will of God for our lives. Praying in the will of God does not mean fewer blessings for us. No, not at all. But more blessings and also greater blessings. We must realize prayer is not some exercise whereby we try to bend or change God's will. No, not at all. To fit our way. No, that's not what it's about. What is prayer? Prayer is the thrilling experience of finding God's will and then Him, then us, as born-again believers, Christian men and Christian women, asking God for that. Now let me share a help with you. The secret of knowing God's will in prayer is not only knowing the Bible. And I encourage you from time to time to read the Bible every opportunity that you get. Get your children to read the Bible, your grandchildren to read the Bible. But know the will of God and know the Bible and let its truth come right here within your heart and stay in your mind, but also to be very sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's why we must learn to wait. When we're praying, we must learn to wait before the Father in something called meditation and something called openness. We must, when we pray, even ask some questions. And let me share some of those questions very quickly with you. We must ask, are we listening when we pray? Are we listening for that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit? Are we the ones that's always doing the talking? Are we giving God His turn? Are we seeking to know and not only know, but also do the will of God? Let's move on. Roman numeral number 3. Look at your outline. I want you to see number 3, the provision of power, prayer. The provision of prayer. Look at verse 11 again. The Bible says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, while we're not to pray selfish prayers, we're certainly to pray for our personal needs. The Bible teaches us that. The Bible tells us that our Father is concerned about every need that you have, every need that I have. Now, how should we pray as born-again believers concerning our needs? We should bring all of our needs to the Father and ask Him specifically for what we need. You say, "Preacher, are you sure?" Listen, and let me back that up in the Word of God. Paul reminded us of that in Philippians 4:19. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ." Now, how do we know that we're ready to pray for our needs? If you can sincerely pray, "Hallowed be thy name," which means to regard God as holy and make His name known, and then you're ready to pray for your needs. Now, I believe many Christians have needs that are unmet for at least 3 reasons. I want to give you those 3 reasons. Reason 1, they have sin in their life. Now, understand, God may hear your prayers, but if you're a born-again believer with sin in your life, unless it's a prayer of rededication, a prayer of forgiveness, God has no obligation to answer your prayers. Do you agree? There may be sin in your life. Reason number 2, they're not ready to pray for their needs. In other words, they're not praying properly. They've not lined up with the Word of God. There's a 3rd reason, and this is very sad, but it's true for many Christians. They may have just not asked. James 4:2 says this, "You have not because you ask not." I'm not sure this will happen, but I imagine possibly it could happen. When we get to heaven, I imagine there could be a huge room in heaven where God may take us or send us on a tour. I do not know, but it would be full of good things and great things and grand things. And we would ask, "What are all those things for?" And God would say something like this, "Those were blessings for you. Those were things that I wanted to give you, but you never asked for them. And they've been up here all this time just waiting for you to ask." God's good, amen? And He wants to bless you, and He wants to bless me. He wants to bless your family. How many can remember going to a grocery store where they actually cut your meat in front of you? Remember the old timey, they had the scales and they would do this, balance each other out? Shortly after World War I, there was a lady that went to the grocery store. Her husband had been killed in World War I, and she had a pretty large family, and she had no money. And she had prayed the night before, "Lord, I don't know what to do. Don't have any money, can't feed my family." So she went to the grocery store, went back to that meat counter, and ask that man, is there any way you could help my family with groceries? My husband has died in World War I. I have no money. The people were gathering around, waiting. Other customers came up while she was talking. And the grocery store man probably was a non-Christian. He said, make me a list and come back. Make me a list and I'll weigh it. She said, sir, I've already got a list. Now, he didn't know what to do. People were lining up there. So he just laid that list on one side of the scale. They'd been using that scale all morning long. Instead of being embarrassed, he'd started putting some stuff on the other side of that scale. And it didn't move. He just kept piling it on there and it just stayed even. Finally, he got it full and he said, ma'am, I've got customers waiting. You're going to have to bag this up and go on your way. Now, it bothered that man the whole day. He did not know why the scale didn't work. He'd worked all morning and he did not know why that woman already had the list made up. So closing time, he began to think and he said, I need to look at that list. And he went and found that list and he opened it up. And I want to share with you what was on that list that lady had made out. He unfolded that list and he looked and he found these words. Lord, please give us this day our daily bread. That's all that she asked for. Those scales had worked all day, but they just so happened to break at the right time. God's good. Amen. Look at your outline. Notice Roman numeral number 4. Notice the pardon of prayer. Look at verse 12 again. I want you to notice in verse 12 the words, forgive us our debts. Ladies and gentlemen, powerful prayer must come from a clean heart. The reason so many of our prayers are not being answered is because we're not including something called confession. The reason so many of our prayers are not being answered is because we're not including something called repentance. A prayer from a dirty heart is a prayer not answered. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If we want our prayers answered, we must make things right with God. Do you agree? We cannot expect God to answer our prayers as born-again believers, even though we are heaven-bound, even though we may have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We cannot expect God to answer our prayers if we have sin in our life. And you may want to pray for revival. You may want to pray for your nation. Our nation seems to be in a mess. You may want to pray for your family. You may want to pray for your marriage. But if you have sin within yourself, it won't do any good at all. You may pray. God may hear. But He certainly, most of the time, He will not answer. Here's something someone said, and I'm quoting a wise man. Again, I don't know who said this, but it's pretty good. He said, oh Lord, help me to cooperate with you so you won't have to operate on me. It's pretty good, is it not? Again, referring back to the will of God. I'm told in the South Sea Islands, the natives there capture monkeys in a very unusual way. They take a coconut down and they drill a hole in it, and then they take and nail it back up to the tree after they've put rice in that hole. And those monkeys come and they find that rice and they like that rice and they stick their hand in that that coconut to get that rice, and they like it so much once they get their hand in there, they won't turn loose. And their hand's stuck in there and they holler and they scream and they just stay there. Hand in that coconut until they're captured, until they're killed. Share that to say this. Many Christians, you know Christians this way and I do, they want to hold on to their sins much more than they'd rather enjoy the freedom of prayer. It's sad and it's tragic because it not only affects you and me, but it affects our families. I want to ask you some questions. Is there some sin in your life that's keeping you from having your prayers answered? Is there some sin that you need to turn loose of today? Is there some sin that's keeping you today from being all that God wants you to be as a Christian man or as a Christian woman? Roman numeral number 5, look at your outline. I want you to notice the protection of prayer. Look at verse 13. Note again the words, deliver us from evil. Now this phrase could read, deliver us from the evil one. And it's referring to the devil. It's referring to Satan, to Lucifer. Daily, may we remember Satan is very real. And you know, and I'm not telling you anything you do not know right now, he continues to tear up churches that you and I love. He continues to tear up families that you and I love. He continues to destroy marriages day in and day out. May we remember the devil has plans to sabotage your life. May we also know that he plans to hurt the ones that you love. He's going to do that if we allow him to. Folks, we need God's protection. Amen? And God's protection is provided through prayer. What kind of prayer, you say, preacher? The prayer for deliverance from the evil one. The prayer for deliverance from temptation. Now, why do so many Christians fall into Satan's trap? Why does this happen? We pray something like this: God, forgive us. But we forget to pray, God, deliver us. This prayer in Matthew, this prayer that Jesus prayed, it's a morning prayer, a.m. Friends, in the morning, just as we ask for God's provisions, we also need to ask for something else. We need to ask for God's daily protection every single day. Do you agree? God, protect me as a father. God, protect me as a mother. God, protect my children. Protect my grandchildren. I'm glad that God enables us by grace to keep getting up when Satan knocks us down. I'm glad, aren't you? But I think it's time that God's people get off of the defensive and that we began being on the offensive. Do you agree? It's time Satan started fleeing from us. They say, preacher, how can that happen? Satan will flee when we put on the whole armor of God. We know that. We've studied that. And Satan will flee when we bathe our souls in the presence and the power of God by claiming the protection of prayer. Let me finish with Roman numeral 6. Look one last time at your outline. I want you to notice the praise of prayer. In verse 13, look again. Note the words, thine is the glory. Jesus opens and he closes on a note of praise. How appropriate. Prayer must be done in faith, and in praise is always, always the best expression of faith. Praise is faith turned inside out. And allow me to explain. When you ask God for things, that's called petition. But petition without praise, do you know what it is? It's unbelief. What happens when we put those two together? When we put petition and praise together? When we link those two together, it becomes power. When I ask God and then praise God even before He answers my prayer, I'm believing in God. Petition says, please God. Praise says, thank you God. Now, how does all that come together? If your faith is strong, and our faith should be strong when we recognize who God is, knowing that He is all powerful and that He is sovereign, when your faith is strong, your prayer will be strong. Pray and believe and you will receive. You might want to put that in your notes. Pray and believe and you will receive. Pray and doubt and you'll do without. Pray and doubt God and you will do without. And if our prayer life seems useless, if our prayer life seems powerless, we must learn to praise God. God deserves our praise. Do you agree this morning? He's a good God, and there's so much to thank Him for. Listen, we have an awesome God. Do you agree? An awesome God. We have a Father who will hear us, and we have a King who can answer us. So we need to praise Him. This altar, not only this Sunday morning, but every Sunday morning, there should be decisions about salvation. I understand that, and I'm thankful for that. There should be decisions about rededication, and I hope there will be. But this altar should be filled every Sunday morning with people just praising God, people thanking God for blessings of the past week. God's good every day, and we need to thank Him, and we need to praise Him. Do you agree? There's a lot of reasons to pray. I want to give you some very quickly. One, God commands us to pray in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Over and over, He tells His people to pray. Reason number two, the example of Jesus. We have one right here before us this morning that I've already alluded to. There's a third reason. Prayer defeats Satan. Don't like Satan, don't want nothing to do with him, and prayer certainly helps. Do you agree? There's a fourth reason. Prayer saves the sinner. If you've been praying for someone that's lost that you love, don't quit praying. You keep on praying for them. Aren't you glad that somebody prayed for you when you were lost? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that somebody didn't give up on you? There's a fifth reason. Prayer restores the backslider. You know someone that used to be in church, someone that used to be on fire for God. Don't you give up on them. You keep praying. You pray and pray, and maybe, perhaps, you'll see them back in God's house one day. Prayer strengthens the saint. Prayer accomplishes the impossible. I believe this, with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? Prayer impacts and imparts wisdom. Prayer keeps us from sin. Reason number 10, prayer reveals the will of God. When was the last time that you came to this altar for no other reason but just to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. The great preacher, Dwight Moody. Never forget this story. You know, he was a great preacher in Chicago. And during the week, he walked the streets going to his church. Didn't drive his car that much. And there was a saloon on the way to the church. He didn't go in the saloon, but outside the saloon was three or four pretty little girls. 6, 7, 8, 9. looked like they all belonged to the same family. He thought in his mind, these girls need to be in Sunday school. They need to be in church. So one day, out of curiosity, he went in and walked up to the bar and he said, "Whose are those little girls outside?" And this happened to be the owner of the bar. And he said, "These are my little girls." The preacher said, "I'd love to have them in Sunday school. I'd love to have them in church." Bartender said, "We don't believe much in church. We don't think much about things like that." D.L. Moody said, "Oh, I'd love for you to let them come and they'll enjoy Sunday school." They talked for a little bit and he said, "I'll make you a deal, preacher." He said, "On Thursday night, the Roughnecks are in here. Some atheists are in here. That's when the crowd gets paid and that's when they're the wildest. I want you to come back on Thursday night, preacher, and we'll have a debate. If you win, the girls can go to Sunday school and they go to church every Sunday. But if I win, I don't want to hear no more out of you." D.L. Moody said, "Okay." And he left praying. And as he was praying, the Lord put on his mind a little boy who delivered papers in the neighborhood. He had been hit on his bicycle once and shouldn't have been alive, but God blessed him. Give him back health and strength, and he's still delivering papers. And this guy was really neat. He rode his bicycle, and he wouldn't throw the papers. He would lay them at the door. He'd put them in the box. He was everybody's buddy, and everybody liked him, respected him, even though now he was only about 12 years old. Thursday night came around, and Preacher Moody got that little boy to go with him to the bar. And he had told him before he got there, he said, "When I call on you, I want you to pray." Everybody was inside, and that place was packed. All kinds of guys in there, rough guys. Lost guys, guys that hated God, didn't want anything to do with the church. D.L. Moody shook hands with the owner, the bartender there, and he said, "Before I start any meeting, I always like to have prayer." That man that owned the place said, "All right, you go ahead, you have prayer." He looked at that 12-year-old boy and he helped him get up on the bar where everybody could see him, and he said, "You pray." And that little boy, oh, did he pray. He said, "Thank you, God, that I wasn't killed when that car hit me. Thank you, God, that I can still ride my bike. Thank you, God, that I can still deliver papers. Thank you, God, for my mama. Thank you, God, for my daddy." D.L. Moody looked back there, and some of them old mean men, tears were running down their face. Some of them was going out the door. That boy just kept on praying. Said, "Thank you for my brothers. Thank you for my sisters. Thank you that we got food on the table." And he went on and on. He said, "Thank you most of all, God, for saving me in Vacation Bible School. Thank you, God, for that old cross." And it got down to the point where there wasn't but three or four of them left. The man that owned the bar, D.L. Moody, and the little boy. Everybody else went out the door. The owner said, "You won. Preacher, you can have my girls every Sunday morning for Sunday school and for worship. But I want to ask you one question, preacher. Why'd you bring this little boy in here, make us all cry?" Listen to what he said, and I'm quoting from my notes. D.L. Moody said, "It's the way I win my battles." He had instructed the little boy to not cease praying till all of them had left the place. There's power in prayer. When's the last time that you came to the altar to really do business with God? When's the last time that you came to the altar to thank God? Maybe for your health, maybe for your job, maybe for your spouse, maybe for your church, maybe for your family. When was the last time that you just got up and came and said, "Thank you. Thank you, God"? Let's stand together and pray together.